All right, let's go ahead and get started. Welcome to the Dave Taplin Chick-fil-A Lab, also set up as a podcast, Dave. We're recording both labs, and each lab is probably going to feel a little different. Dave might go on a different tangent, share a different part of his heart. And so we'll be posting this online, and you can check out this lab. If you caught something that you wanted to write that down or forgot to, you can go back into it. Or you can check out the next lab and see what's different about this conversation and hopefully get some more insight on leadership principles, servanthood, and maybe some insight to Chick-fil-A. This is broadcasting to everyone, so whatever secrets you share, everyone's going to know about it. So hopefully you don't get fired or anything like that. Everyone, give it up for Dave Taplin for being with us today.
Thank you. Thank you.
So Dave, thank you so much for being with us, and today is all about just our leaders, volunteers, just making us better leaders, making us better servants for what God has for us, and of course, Chick-fil-A. Give it up if you like Chick-fil-A. Let me hear you. Give them some encouragement. We're a big fan, and what we've always said is that Chick-fil-A is not just a chicken company, it's a leadership company, because it's more than that. But before we get into those principles and what you've learned and what you're teaching your own team members, how did you get involved in Chick-fil-A, and how can we all write this stuff down so we can be involved in it too? But tell us a little bit your journey and how God has led you to where you are today.
Would love to. So it is a basic love story, really. In 2004, I met my now wife, Dana, who's sitting right there, the beautiful young lady in the corner. Yes, please. Certainly my better half. I married up, as did you. We have five kids, and the youngest is right there. But in 2004, we met at Denver Seminary and started to fall in love. And we would go on dates. We would go on breakfast dates to Chick-fil-A. And I remember being enamored by their chicken burritos, and Dana saying,
yeah. "Well, you never went to Chick-fil-A before you met her."
I never really went to Chick-fil-A because I grew up in Colorado, and we had a Chick-fil-A at a distant mall that we never really went to. So I was never really introduced to it. Dana grew up in the South. She grew up with an operator's family, so she was very acquainted. And so we would have these amazing breakfast dates, and then eventually I came back for lunch. And had the Chick-fil-A sandwich, and the waffle fries, and the Polynesian, and the Chick-fil-A sauce. But so I started to fall in love with Chick-fil-A as I was falling in love with my wife.
Amen.
And I grew up as a football player and an athlete, but a day came when football was over, and I missed the strength and conditioning more than I missed the football. And so I studied exercise science in college, and when I had met Dana, I was actually in my career doing strength and conditioning and ended up doing personal training with 24-Hour Fitness, and this is in Colorado. And so we ended up living in Colorado Springs, and the 24-Hour Fitness that I worked in shared a parking lot with a Chick-fil-A, and I would take my, yeah, I know.
Just divine, yeah.
Yeah. Fitness, fast food,
that's right.
Coming together. And so I would take my lunch breaks there at Chick-fil-A, and I loved the great food, right? Food is king in the restaurant business. And I loved how I felt. I loved the service, which I would consider queen in the restaurant business, the hospitality that you feel. And back then, they used to sell... Truett Cathy used to sell his leadership books at Chick-fil-A's, and so I bought one, and I just thought it was so amazing that I took those leadership principles, and I started a book club with my personal trainers, and we were doing a book from Chick-fil-A at our personal training organization, because the principles are so transferable, obviously. That's how leadership works. And eventually, in 2006, Dana and I were married. And I was telling you, we lived in Colorado Springs. And in 2007, I got to the point where I said, this is what I want to do. I want to be a Chick-fil-A owner-operator. And so I went online to Chick-fil-A.com, and I expressed interest to become an owner-operator, which is still a method of how you can do it to this day. And really quickly in the process, they said, no. And I'm sure a lot of you have been told no in certain times too. And in 2008, we had our first child, Holland, our only daughter of the five. And in 2009, I lost my job. And we went out on a coffee date, Dana and I did. And I got into provider mode, and I said, honey, I can work at Starbucks, I can get his benefits. My brother works here, my brother-in-law works there. And she said, that's fine, but what do you want to do with your life? Mm. Right? It was a begin with the end in mind moment. And I said, well, I want to do Chick-fil-A, but I applied a year and a half ago, and they said no. So I guess this isn't meant to be, right? And she got me to open up my mind, and later on I found out that the majority of Chick-fil-A owner-operators actually started out as team members. And so I started an interview with an owner-operator in Greensboro, North Carolina, which is where Dana grew up. And I said, I want your job. I want to do what you do. I want to be an owner-operator. Can you show me how? And he said, I'll hire you, and I'll teach you how to do this. I'll show you what I know, and I'll get you an interview. I can show you the process, but I can't promise the result. And so I said, great. So keep in mind, I'm a grown man. I'm in my late 20s. And I moved Dana and our one child at the time across the country from Colorado to Greensboro, North Carolina. And I make $12 an hour for 2.5 years while I learn this business. And we move in, now that I'm married for 2 years and have a child, we move in with my in-laws so that Dana can be a stay-at-home mom
and,
throughout the beginning.
And the person that's overseeing you at Chick-fil-A is who?
Is an 18-year-old team leader.
Crazy. Man, and what an amazing wife. Yeah, just like, all right, we're going to be the cashier guy at Chick-fil-A in North Carolina, but there you are.
Exactly.
You talk about, we've talked, as we discussed just our time together, The Principle of the Path. It's an Andy Stanley book. He's a great pastor in Atlanta. How's he guided that principle of the path for you in your life? So that helps us too.
Yeah, for those of you who have not heard that message or read the book, The Principle of the Path, Andy says that your destination, not your intention, determines, I'm sorry, your. I said it all, I already messed it up,
boy.
Guys, I'm
redo
so
the
sorry.
Podcast, start over.
Redo
yeah.
that. Your direction, not your intention, determines your destination. Sorry, that's what I meant to say from the beginning, but if you imagine yourself over 100 years ago driving the Titanic and you're going across the Atlantic and it's in the middle of the night and you're going way too fast, what's going to happen when you see that iceberg? You're not going to be able to flip turn that thing 180 degrees around in a moment's notice. That's not how life works. But you can change direction. Okay, that's what we can do in life. And it's never too late. It's never, never too late. So we have to be bought into the process. Like Jim said when he interviewed me for Chick-fil-A, he couldn't promise me a restaurant of my own, but he would show me the process. And we can't cheat the process. Mm. We reap what we sow. And so I'm very, very thankful that we took that direction in life. Now, just to be clear as well, we have a choice in this. Right, we have a choice in the direction that we choose. We can't just wait on God or just wait on other people. Right, I have. Sorry, I don't know if I'm skipping ahead to the next question with the owners and employees. Was there anything else on this?
Yeah. Well, and you.
Oh, sorry, my story.
You've
sorry.
Been
I totally deviated.
And your journey took 6 and 7 years. Now you're an owner operator at which location here in Vegas?
So I'm the owner-operator of Chick-fil-A on Eastern and St. Rose.
All right.
So we're all individually owned and operated. And so it started out 10 years ago. I was a team member. My first day as a team member was July 13th, 2009. As far as our marriage goes in this process that we talk about, we've been married for 13 and a half years. We've moved 15 times.
Oh, my goodness.
And my wife has had 5 children in 5 different states.
Wow.
And so, yeah. Yeah, exactly. What a process, right?
That's right. And just the process of those 6 to 7 years of, you know, something that was shared with me during really tough times in the journey of my life. I never want to go back to those times. I'm so glad I did, because that's who I am today, my marriage today, my faith in God today. And that's a huge part of your faithfulness of sticking with this desire to work with this organization, and your wife to trust that process, to trust God faithfully. And of course, it doesn't always turn out to be where you are today, one of those dream moments, but for you, the faithfulness of God, being glorifying him in the midst of it, no matter what the outcome was a huge part of your journey. And so you opened up 2 years ago.
That's right.
You and Stephanie, the other location, yep, opened up the same day, and he won't say this, but broke the record at Chick-fil-A for most sales in 1 month, correct? Mm-hmm. And if you were here during that time, we lost our minds. Vegas, it was like the Golden Knights going to Stanley Cup. Everyone went. You had to be creative on the drive-through line. In fact, we have two volunteers who serve in student ministry. They were both working at different locations at the exact same time opening it up. And they were competing of like, oh, we sold more than you did, and you don't have the condiment line in your drive-thru like we do. We have to, because we're just blowing up. And they were competing back and forth. So it was a lot of fun to be a part of that, and especially for you to start in Vegas and all of us being so excited. What a great journey that's been for you, right?
It was a huge blessing.
So let's transition now into just your culture, the Chick-fil-A culture. Like you said, King is the product. It's the food. It's the chicken. And for us at church, you know, weekends is a lot like King for us, but it's that service. Without that, no one wants to keep on coming back. And for us, as volunteers, anything can go well on stage, it can look good, but if there's not that follow-through and that follow-up with each individual person, no one's going to want to come back. Like, oh, that sounds great, it looks great, but I don't feel anything, or I don't feel appreciated or loved, served. And I've heard stories from Chick-fil-A that employees will, like, if there's a flat tire in the parking lot, you all will change the flat tire, or somebody's car battery dies, you'll change it. I saw this meme the other day that whenever Chick-fil-A messes up an order, we just trust they know what's best for me. Like, okay, you trust, I didn't want that. I know what you knew what I wanted. So that's how respectful you guys are. And if you go into Chick-fil-A, you just kind of assume that, you expect that. And how do you get a culture like that for a fast food restaurant of employees and team members to be that way? How did you create that culture?
So I think it all starts with a vision and values. When you're thinking about who you're putting on your team, on your bus, there's got to be similarity there. And so we have our purpose, our mission, and our values. If you were to drive into the Chick-fil-A corporate office, the home office, the headquarters, etched in stone, to the right of the front double doors is the corporate purpose, which was created in 1981. And it's to glorify God by being a faithful steward of all that he's entrusted to us, to have a positive influence on all who come in contact with Chick-fil-A. And that's basically so great that I didn't feel like I had to reinvent the wheel, so I adopted that as our restaurant
that's
purpose
right.
as well.
That's right.
We created our mission statement, so the purpose being the why we're all there. And then we created our mission statement for our personal restaurant. It's 10 words, and it's to be an irresistible restaurant and source of thriving community. You see it in our restroom vestibule area written there, but hopefully it's written on our hearts more than that.
So each location is able to have that their own specific statement. Is it because
That's right.
different communities and different owners have different vision or heart for that location?
Right, yeah, just like you have different church buildings, I'll say, because we're all one church, right? We are all individually owned and operated, every franchise is. So we do get to decide our values. Now, with that said, there was something with my values and Chick-fil-A values that they said, okay, we think this guy could be an owner-operator, you know, at least with a low-volume mall, which is where we started. We've got our purpose, our mission, and our values. And our five core values are customers first, working together, continuous improvement, personal excellence, and stewardship. And so when we're selecting our team, that's the very first thing that I look for, right? It's almost like when you select a friend, right, is you're looking for those values. What do they care most about? I can train the skill, but I have to hire the heart. It has to be the right fit. And so that's the very first part of the culture, is the selection process based on the values. And then not only that, but we've got to practice it. We've got to live it out. There's only so much to me, even right now, saying these things about what I believe and what Chick-fil-A believes, right? Because men and women of integrity are the same here right now as they are right here, right? And so I have to practice all those things as well. One of the things I say in the interview process is I talk about commitment, because we always ask for at least a one-year commitment before we hire somebody. And I talk about my marriage and how we've been married for 13 and a half years and have 5 children, and that they're going to see my family come in a lot to dine with us, and they're going to see our commitment and how we treat each other. Because I can't ask for them for commitment unless they see my commitment. I show every team member that I care about them beyond, I say beyond the transaction, because that's how we feel about guests. We care about every guest beyond the transaction, but even every team member, beyond what they give us. They all have intrinsic value, and so I make sure to invest in them and get to know them.
This is a fast food restaurant, by the way. Isn't that crazy? Like, for us sitting here, I mean, it sounds like a church. I mean, it sounds like something you'd want each and every person who helps out to feel that same way and have that same value. And talk a little bit about the owner-employee. There's a difference between just being an employee, but taking ownership of that. Tell us the difference between both those terms.
Yeah, and that's a huge impact to the culture, too. So I want as many owners on my team as possible, right? And you don't have to have the title to be an owner, right? A lot of us have rented houses and have owned houses, right? You may put something different down the disposal for the house that you rent versus the house that you own, correct? I want as many owners as possible. So an owner to me is somebody who wants to come to work, right? They're bought into the vision and values. They want to be there. They come in early because they want to be there. And when they're walking in, if they see a piece of trash on the ground, they pick it up because that's their Chick-fil-A, and they don't want their Chick-fil-A to be dirty. And when they walk in, they anticipate needs. They're proactive. They're not waiting to be told what to do. Surely we're going to train them and take them through a process of training. But a lot of this, like we talked about, kind of goes back to the heart. Our culture is really going to be defined by our hearts, right? What we would do based on our hearts. The owner is constantly asking, what else can I do? How can I serve? Even before, it's 1 minute left before their shift. Their shift may be over already. Hey, how else may I serve you? What else can I do for you? That's what I want on my team. Contrast that to the employee. The employee comes to work either late or maybe with 1 minute to go until their shift starts. They back into the parking spot so they can get out as quickly as possible when the shift is over. They come in. They give the absolute minimal amount of effort that is required. They are constantly looking at the clock. They are there to earn a paycheck. And they are very reactive and don't do most things until they're asked to do them. And then as soon as that moment hits for them to be off of their shift, they want to clock out. They don't even want to check in. They just want to clock out. And that's the difference between an owner and employee. And so one of the ways that we defend our culture is to add as many owners as possible to it.
I bet it's pretty easy to see when there's more owners, the difference probably sticks out a lot with the employee versus an owner. And hopefully it drives the employee mindset to either step up or have to step away, realizing they're not a fit. And you probably recognize that as well and have those conversations. You know, when I was with Dave, we were talking about this at a Chick-fil-A, which was a pleasure. Even when we stood up, there was a guy who was going to take his tray, and Dave said, hey, well, can I take that tray for you? Just seeing that as the owner, he's not waiting for one of his team members to do it. He'll do it himself. And we just talked a lot about that servant leadership, that in order for them to, even each shift manager needs to lead the way as well, that each shift needs to see the example of what it means to make this shift or their time the best ever. You also talked about it cannot just be their 8 hours they work there. It has to be all the hours
throughout their week. You want them not just to be a servant when they show up to work. You want them to be a servant the rest of the week.
Yeah, there's 168 hours. There's 168 hours a week. And I think in the post-Christian generation that we live in now, with the rise of the nuns, those who have no religious affiliation, a lot of times what they will say about Christians is they'll say, well, no, you and I are just the same. We're exactly the same. You may spend 1 hour different on Sundays, but we're just the same, right? When people need to constantly be smelling the aroma of Christ wherever we are. And either it's your pleasure to serve or it's not. Hmm. Even back to the beginning, when we do that selection process, right, I'm looking for people that it is their pleasure to serve, right? It comes back to the heart, right? What does love require of me, right? Well, that's going to manifest itself in love through acts of service. And so just constantly, people see me out in the community. You know, I see my guests out in the community. I see my team out in the community. And my hope and goal is that I am the same person that is right here out there.
Yeah. You, Chick-fil-A, just the whole, even your mission or your values of not just selling chicken, but be a part of that community. The Eastern location has made a big splash, not just in providing great food, but also just the commitment to the community as well. Can you share with us a little bit about when it comes to the one and having empathy for the one that doesn't know Jesus, how does Chick-fil-A express that and make an impact in the world around them?
Yeah. So another thing that I need to be clear about is I told you the corporate purpose earlier, which is very rare, right? It's very rare to have a for-profit company have a corporate purpose that says that starts out to glorify God, right? Now, as a for-profit company, we cannot discriminate based on protected classifications, right? So you do not have to be a Christian to work at Chick-fil-A. Now, it is okay for me to say that that is my why. That's totally fine. But the rest of the vision and values is not optional. So I believe that in the end, we're going to be, in the end, a more important measurement than what we take is really going to be what we give away, right? Mm. What we give away with our lives. Mm. And so we need to give more to the community than we take.
Wow.
From. And so last fall, in September, CCSD was facing some budget cuts. And our local elementary school, Lamping Elementary, was facing 3 teacher cuts. And we learned of this on a Friday in September, and we got with the PTA and with the principal, and we had already had a Wednesday, the following Wednesday, scheduled for an all-day spirit day for the school. But we said, what if we change the bucket that these funds go into, instead of PTA funds to actually the teacher budget fund, and what if we try to start saving teachers? And so it went viral. And we said that anybody who comes in on Wednesday, September 19th, 100% of the sales will go to Lamping Elementary. And We had parents and teachers who came in 3 times, 4 times, 5 times in one day. And we raised $30,000. In one day. And it, not only that, but it really started a movement. Because through the school and through the community, we were able to raise, we were able to raise over $120,000, and we saved two of three teachers.
Come on.
From the school.
Come on. Again, this is a fast food restaurant doing this. Amazing.
And really, we don't give away $30,000 every day. Okay, that's not an everyday thing. That's a radical example. But how do we know when that guest in front of us is not on the fringe, right? They have exhausted every option in their mind, right? They don't feel loved. We could change their lives forever, right? Everything that you say or do could have a positive or negative impact for eternity. And we have to have that mindset, right? That everyone has intrinsic value that God gives them. So in the last 2.5 years, we've given over $200,000 of food and finances and money to local churches, schools, military, and nonprofits. The majority of the marketing that we do is generosity. We lead with generosity. We lead with philanthropy because we believe that that's how we can invest in the community. And we know that God's going to return on that investment, and he always has. The two and a half years ago when we opened up, people weren't coming in and saying, "Oh, I can't wait to meet Dave Taplin. I'm coming to Dave Taplin's restaurant." No, they were coming to Chick-fil-A, right? Because of the strength of the brand, because this has been happening for years and years and years, right? And I think that's what's going to make the church irresistible too, right? Is how we love, is how we serve, how we love through service.
And I love the line you shared with me. What's the best way to lead out love? It's through leading out in generosity and radical. And that's how you become irresistible. And man, it's awesome. Give it for Dave and just this sharing with us. We have just, you know, a few more moments. You know, one of the special things about you being here is that maybe you can take us, just totally turning the corner here, behind the scenes of Chick-fil-A, some of the fun things that are coming up, the inside scoop that no one else knows about. You're also going to give away some stuff to people who are here today. So give us some insight of what's to come, whether it's locations, food that's coming out, all that fun stuff.
Yeah. So this last Monday, the chain rolled out a really fun item, our new mac and cheese. So if you haven't had a chance to try that, please do. And then there's some tests going on. There's always tests with new food items or beverage items before they roll it out chain-wide. And so some of you who have been to the Arizona Chick-fil-A's might have already tasted this, but the grilled spicy club sandwich, the spicy strips, the spicy strip chicken biscuit for the morning. Also, last Monday we rolled out the frosted caramel coffee, which is really good.
Okay.
And within the next year, there will be twice as many Chick-fil-A's in the Las Vegas Valley as there are now. So there are many.
Come on.
Thank you.
Can you share us where they're going to be?
Yeah. So some of you who have walked this strip have seen the one out in front of Planet Hollywood on Harmon and Las Vegas Boulevard. That'll probably be in November is when that'll open up. And then Fort Apache and Charleston in the Summerlin area.
Yep.
Thanks. Summerlin finally gets one. Craig Road, close to Nellis. Las Vegas Boulevard and George Crockett right at the Tahiti Village area there. And then Flamingo and Valley View across from the Rio. So, yes, we should be twice as big in the next year.
That's awesome. Man, awesome. All right.
And then we have something for them when they walk out.
Yeah. No, so, you're the one who...
Yeah. I get to tell the good news?
Yes.
Okay. So when Truett Cathy started this whole thing, one of the things that he would do, he would even walk the streets with these things that are called Be Our Guest cards. And they didn't look like they do now, all, you know, plastic and with a QR code at the back with multiple options of an item. But it was still a Be Our Guest card, a paper Be Our Guest card. And he would invite people into his restaurant. No strings attached for a free item, you know, whether that was a Chick-fil-A sandwich or something else. And so we have that for you all as well. today, these Be Our Guest cards, as you walk out for an item of your choice. So,
and then we have items here that you just want to throw at people.
Yes.
Dave,
yeah, if I could start throwing.
How would you want to do that?
Well, so I've got a water bottle, and then it is football season, so I've got a Chick-fil-A chip clip, which is very essential. Okay, get one before the Super Bowl, of course. And especially if you have small children, we've got these Mini Moo plush cows that we'd like to give away because they're really fun for kids.
So how are you going to do this?
So I guess just chuck them to those who are interested, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'll do a cow. You do the cow.
You want to do one?
Huh?
You want to do a cow?
You do both cows in the water bottle because if you hurt somebody, then they can't sue me.
Did you just hurt somebody?
I just broke the football chip. My bad. I owe you that. Sorry. We have one another.
Yeah, I'll check with Dana.
We'll talk to the president about that. All right. We have just three or four more minutes. I wanted to conclude with just your final thoughts. You're just a godly man, just talking to you, listening to you. Makes me want to be better, makes us want to be better. And so just one last thought, just all of us, to encourage us.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So two scriptures that I want to share. The first one is Philippians 1:6, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to the day of completion. We are all a work in progress. All of us are. And obviously, I want to take scripture in context. That's about our sanctification, about God changing us more and more into the spirit man, the spirit woman, you know, and away from the flesh. But we are a work in progress. And James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. And so the cool thing about leadership, even it's similar to sanctification, that you can grow in leadership, right? You can grow in service. God gave us these brains, right? We're fully grown. We're not going to grow anymore physically, but we can grow right here. And we can grow in our leadership, and we can grow in our influence. And you know what? If you want wisdom, you just have to ask God for it. But you have to be ready that God might say, well, I've put this person in your life for this reason, right? This person has had victory over the things that you are looking to grow in. And I think you need to spend some time with them. And so we need to consider who God puts in our life to act as a mentor. Also, with how you spend your time, right? How you invest yourself. I've found as a married man with five kids and a business to run that I don't have a lot of discretionary time. And so I gave up reading books a long time ago and picked up audiobooks. I listen to either a leadership book, a biography, or oftentimes a book written by a pastor. I try to do about one book a week right now. But I consider my resources and how I can invest in myself, right? How does God want me to gain wisdom? I know he wants me to ask, and I know that he's going to reveal it to me, but I have to consider how I can acquire it as well. And I have to have that humility. And so we're works in progress, right? One of the questions that I was asked in my interview process to become an owner was, where do you draw the line between cocky and confident? And I said, I think it's at the point when the person gets to the point where they no longer are coachable and teachable, they are cocky. Mm-hmm. Okay, we don't want to err on the side of humility so much that we're not direct with people, right, and we're not confident, but we don't want to be err on the side of confidence so much that we're arrogant and we're not coachable anymore. So what I would encourage you guys is to always just have the mindset of a student of the game, right? Even with your faith, you're a student of the game, right? Like John chapter 9, when Jesus healed the blind man, and the Pharisees pulled the blind man in to try to condemn Jesus. And they said, this Jesus is a sinner. He heals people on the Sabbath. And the blind man said, whether this man is a sinner or not, I don't know. But I was blind. And now I see, right? We're a student of the game, but we know that. We know that to be true. Okay, same thing with leadership. What can you learn? How can you influence, but what can you learn as well?
Awesome. So let me pray for Dave, and let me pray for Chick-fil-A. Heavenly Father, just thank you so much for the vision of, it's not just a fast food restaurant, it's a light in this place, and not just in our city, but the world. And I almost just sense that every Chick-fil-A that's coming to our city is just another light, another piece of the community that we need. And Lord, thanks so much for Dave and just his faithfulness to you and his wife and his family, that you continue to teach him, give him the wisdom to know what to do next, to continue to be generous with what you've given him and the store that you've let him be responsible for this time and this season. I pray for those team members that have, that they just continue to be not cocky, but confident to just hear from Dave and hear from you ultimately through him, and that they will come to know you even better and closer in their faith. Lord, thank you so much for this time. Enrich us. Help us remember some of the principles that he shared so we can live this out in our daily lives. Pray these things in your name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Get up for Dave one more time. And as you leave, you'll get those cards at the door, and you have a few moments, a few break, about 10-minute break, and your next breakout will be 10:15. Is that correct? Am I saying this correct? We won't record this part. Oh, and as you leave, John Christ, who's a comedian, he made a video of Chick-fil-A pickup lines, and so we're going to play that as you leave today for your entertainment.
Excuse me, was your ex by any chance a 4-count chicken nugget meal? Because I can tell that you were never satisfied.
Hey girl, I am finally here, the man of your ice dreams.
Yeah, what's up girl? Ladies call me Chick-fil-A because I will always satisfy you, and I was founded on Christian principles.
Girl, me and you were made for each other, like a homeschool van in a Chick-fil-A parking lot.
Excuse me, are you Chick-fil-A sauce? Because you're my first choice.
Girl, you treat me wrong and I'm a chicken biscuit after 10:30. Not available. Communication in our relationship is like the Chick-fil-A drive-thru. Both lanes open.
Hey girl, listen, I know a lot of guys are like lining up to date you, but honestly, I'm like a Chick-fil-A mobile order. I can skip the line.
Call me a strawberry passion tea lemonade because I'm only available for a limited time.
They call me honey mustard because I'm sweet but a little spicy.
Oh, you eat beef, huh? Well, that's good to know because now we got beef. Bye.
They call me barbecue sauce because your dad's gonna want me at the family cookout.
You can't spell love without I and you.
Oh, wait, you can? Oh, okay, well, I'm a Chick-fil-A cow, okay? I can't spell.
Yo, what's up, girl? You want to go on a date this Friday night? Call me a Chick-fil-A employee because dinner is my pleasure.
Honestly, call me a catered nugget platter because your family would be thrilled if you brought me to Christmas.
You have found the man of your dreams. Call me a Chick-fil-A employee because I'm selfless, service-oriented, and probably homeschooled.